All right. Do we have any more prayer requests? Okay, can I have a couple people help me with the communion? Paul told us that the only reason that Christians are sickly and die early among you is because you don't discern the body of Christ. God told us to, he gave us specific directions on how to make this bread. It's called matzah bread. He told us specifically how to do it. Remember, in the Old Testament, they have types and shadows of Jesus all through there. And this is one of the types and shadows of Jesus. And Jesus actually said, take this, eat, this is my body. He told us this is his body. But we need to discern the body of Christ. And what God wants us to do is to take this bread and look at it and see his sacrifice. See his marred body on that cross. I'm not talking about the Hollywood picture where he's got a black eye and a couple scratches. I'm talking about seeing the flesh missing and the bones exposed. Seeing that sacrifice, that bloody sacrifice that was meant for us. Because that was for our healing as well as for our salvation. If you look at this bread, you'll notice that this bread is made without yeast. That's very important to understand that yeast is significant of sin in the Bible. And Jesus' body was certainly and still is without sin. He never made a mistake in his life. He's without sin. That's why he could take our place on the cross and set us free. Because he never broke the law. Also, if you look at this bread, it's been beaten and pounded flat. Jesus took a terrible beating for us. He took that beating before he even got to the whipping post to get scourged. He was beaten. And he took deep internal bruises too. See, if sometimes if you have deep internal wounds inside of you, sometimes somebody done something to you when you was a child and it was a terrible thing, Jesus can heal that. Jesus can heal what no man can heal. And if you look at this bread, you'll notice that it has stripes in it. And it's by his stripes that we were healed. And in fact, our healing was taken care of before our sins were. Because our sins weren't paid for until he got on the cross. But he took the scourging on his back before he got to the cross. And if you look, this bread is pierced. Everywhere that Jesus' body was pierced, he shed blood. And everywhere he shed blood, he gained some redemption for us. You know, he shed blood, he sweat blood, he shed blood when they put a crown of thorns on him, he shed blood out of his hands, he shed blood out of his feet, he shed blood out of his back. Everywhere he shed blood, we get redemption in some area. And if you look, this bread has been slightly burned. It means the full wrath of God's fiery judgment. The judgment that was meant for us was laid on Jesus when he was on that cross. So we're taking of your broken body, Jesus. And we thank you for our healing. The blood of Jesus, because it is sinless, has never died. His blood is still alive. and it still does what it was set out to do. His blood is still pliable. You notice if you scratch your hand and you bleed, your blood dries up. Because your blood dies. Because it's sin stained. But the blood of Jesus is still alive. And it still does what God intended it to do. It continually washes away your sins. It continually protects you. It continually has a veil over you. So when God looks at you, He sees you through the blood of Jesus. And this blood has made you the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, so that you can boldly enter into the throne room of grace, right into His presence, and receive mercy and grace in a time of need. We thank You for this. I don't know how many snacks Miss Connie made, but she's made about 3 trips by here. So she must have made a lot of snacks, huh? Well, she'll be here in just a little bit. We'll get started. Genesis chapter 1. You're saved by the bell. Oh. We'll see you in a little bit, buddy. Okay, so in case you haven't noticed, we're living in some very, very interesting times. There's been a great push for the devil to get his one world government set up, and a great push for him to get his one world currency set up, and a great push for him to get his one world religion set up. And he's getting beat down at every turn. You know, the most power-hungry people on the whole planet have been stepping down from positions of government. I got to believe that they're not just doing it to go take up fishing. But I want you to know that every time the devil does something, it's because something has already been established. When he took the blessing from Adam, when he got Adam to sin, he got the blessing and he twisted it and turned it into the curse. The devil has never been able to create anything. All he's ever been able to do is to twist, counterfeit, and copy. He's never been able to make anything original. You might say he's never had an original thought in his life. All he's been able to do is just counterfeit. So every time there's something bad happen, every time there's something wrong happen, and notice this, all over the world, every time the devil throws some kind of fit, it's because God has already established something that will be. There will be a one world government. And it will be headed by Jesus. Amen. He will establish His government on this earth. The government will rest on His shoulders. There will be a one world religion. The Bible tells us that He will bring us all together in the unity of the faith. Not our doctrine. Did you notice that? They didn't say doctrine in there. It said He will bring us together in the unity of the faith. I think there's going to be a lot of people who suddenly realize that Jesus is Lord. Amen. And I've said this before, there will be a currency that is backed by God. He's always backed gold and silver. You know, He didn't back this greenback dollar that we got. this American currency that we got, you do realize that's going away. That's not going to exist anymore. God is going to get rid of the evil people that have been behind this corruption that this world has been seeing. I'm not saying this to make you scared, but I'm saying this to make you pay attention and get excited about the future. I want you to see something in Genesis. Chapter 1, verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and had dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And we're going to stop there for just a second. God said, let us make man in our image. Now, who do you suppose he was talking to? And he said, our Holy Spirit and Jesus. We're right there with him. All three, the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. All three are one. They were all there. Understand this, that man was created in their image. That means we are a three-part being. We are spirit. That's the real you, your spirit that's inside of you, the very core of you. That's the real you. You have a soul. You're attached to that soul. That's why it's so very important that you get born again. Because some people think you're going to just die and you're just going to go away and it's just going to be the end of it. That's not the way it goes. Your soul is not going to die either. I mean, it may spiritually die, but your soul is going to continue to keep feeling emotions, separation, fear. And if you get eternally separated from God, that's an eternity of torment. Sometimes we'd run around and we'd go to a meeting and say, well, we got 15 souls saved. Well, no, we didn't. We got 15 spirits saved, 15 people born again. The souls go with the spirit. But it's important to understand you're a three-part being. You are a spirit, you have a soul, and you are in a body. That's your earth suit. When you wear out your earth suit, you will change addresses. See, this is, I would say to put that in the Bible. Because there's too many people just sitting around thinking that when you wear out your earth suit, you die, and that's it. No. When you wear out your earth suit, you will change addresses. You will either go into the presence of God the Father, or you will go into the presence of Satan your father. But you're going to make your choice on this earth, one way or the other. You must understand, if you are not born again, Satan is your father. Unless you're a little child and you haven't had enough time to make a decision for Christ, you haven't gotten old enough to make a decision for Christ one way or another. Once you get to the age of accountability, you are expected to make a decision. either yes for Jesus or no. And people say, well, I'm not decided yet. Then you said no. As far as God is concerned, everybody that is alive today on this earth, He has their name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But if they don't make a decision for Christ before they leave their body, He has to blot their name out of the Lamb's Book of Life. But it's our decision. God never chose to throw anybody into hell. That's never been His intention. He's always given us a free will, and He's always given the opportunity to choose. And He said, choose life. He gave you the answer. Choose life. So we got the Trinity and our three-part being figured out. But I want you to notice something. In verse 28, He told Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. The very first thing He told them was to be fruitful. One of the biggest attacks that the devil has had is on the unborn. He come against the very first thing God told man to do, be fruitful. And Satan has been actively trying to destroy that. He does not want the earth to be filled with people. He doesn't want a lot of people on this earth. God does. God can sustain the people. God can take care of the people. Satan doesn't want people. So you see there how that happened? You see the very first thing God said to do, Satan came against. And then he got Adam to sin in the garden. And he took that blessing and turned it into the curse. For faith, he came up with fear. For health, he came up with sickness. For life, he came up with death. Do you know that man was not created to die? That was not God's idea. Adam and Eve are supposed to still be alive. So far, there's only been two people that have not died. Enoch, he's still rolling around. And Elijah. They got raptured out of here. They didn't die. They will meet death. They will come back eventually and be the witnesses. But they haven't died yet. But that was God's plan. His man was just supposed to keep on multiplying and living and multiplying and living. Then the devil figured out how to get people to die faster and faster and faster. Until some of them really die young. But God set this thing in motion. Now I want you to ask yourself a serious question. Because we've been talking about the millennial reign coming up. I don't know how we're going to get there. You got to know that we're out of time on this earth. I mean, the way things are, things are changing. We're going to go into some new dispensation. You do realize that, don't you? Things are not going to be the same. They're just not. I don't know if we're going to get shoot up out of here before all the... I don't know all the answers. But one question that you really need to ask yourself is, if God said, let it be this way, do you think that he's going to let Satan, who he kicked out of heaven, do you think he's going to let him destroy what he said? God is going to have his own way in the end. The Hebrew calendar, I don't know where we're at on that whole thing, where the calendar of time is. But everything has been set up on different dispensations, and they figure that we had 6,000 years on this earth from Adam to now. And then the seventh year is supposed to be the millennial reign. You got to know that we're pretty close. I mean, because they know they had 2,000 years from Adam to Abraham, and then 2,000 years from Abraham to Jesus. Yeah, here we are in the year 2022. If you haven't noticed, the world in chaos and the things changing around you, it's time to wake up. That the end of this lease that we've got is coming up. Things are going to be suddenly different. But understand this. You belong to God. You are under the blood. And things are going to go well for you. That doesn't mean that we're not going to have some chaos that we got to go through. That doesn't mean that we're not going to have some hardships to go through. You know, there's something every week somebody does something incredibly stupid. I just think sometimes these people are just, I think it's just Satan, you know, you just, it's the only thing I can come up with. But here's the thing I learned. Remember, the Bible says that time and chance, it talks about time and chance, and that leads you to think that everybody lives by luck, and that's just not the way God does things. If you look at the meaning of that scripture and the time and chance, you'll find out that it's right happenings happening to you at the right time, putting you in the right place at the right time so that right happenings can happen to you, that the blessings of God can fall on you because somebody has been praying for you. And that somebody is your high priest, and his name is Jesus, and he's standing at the right hand of God making intercession for you. Want to know the key to this right happenings happening to you? Ask God to protect you. Ask him. Say, protect me, Father. You're my Father. Protect me. Psalm 91 is a good place to get started on it. It's as simple as this. Protect me, Father. Cause your right happenings to happen to me at the right time. Cause me to be in the right place at the right time so that your blessings can fall on me. And then guess what happens? These angels get activated and they go out and they cause God's word to be performed on your behalf. They are ministers sent to you. You're the heir to salvation, so these angels have been sent to minister to you. Angels are your servants. You know, they said, who are you that you would visit man, you made him a little lower than the angels. And that's not scripturally right. That's a bad translation. God made you a little lower than God, not angels. In fact, he made you a joint heir with Jesus. And he's freely given you all things with Jesus. Galatians chapter 3 verse 29 says that because you are Abraham's seed, you fell heirs according to the promise. You fell heir to the promise of Abraham. And we've found out that when Abraham met Melchizedek, Melchizedek went up to him and said, "Blessed are you, Abraham, possessor of heaven and earth." You fell heir to absolutely everything. You've been given authority in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. In the name of Jesus, you have that authority. Now, God placed this whole thing in motion, and he's going to see it through to the end. So we had 1,000 years, you might say. But there is a new earth coming. There is a new heaven coming. Jerusalem, the bride of Christ, a new Jerusalem, will be on this earth. And God will dwell among his people. I want to go to that in Revelation chapter 21. Verse 1, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them, they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God." I'm as guilty as everybody that ever preached the funeral of verse 4, because I'd say this, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new." I always would say that for the people that were in heaven. That's something that's established for this earth, on this earth. You know, we're going to a day where there's no pain. We're going to a day where we're not going to be fighting other nations, because we're not going to be stealing other nations' stuff. Other nations are not going to be trying to steal other people's stuff. Because Jesus' way is going to be established on this earth. I don't know how it's all going to come about, but it is going to come about. So there's a millennial reign coming, 1,000 years of this peace. Can you imagine living in a world where peace rules? Where the devil has been taken out of the way, And now there's nobody telling me to hate you, and nobody telling you to hate them, and nobody will be able to get along with people. You do realize that most of the troubles in this world, most of the war has been caused because somebody said something falsely, did something falsely, somebody did something wrong they shouldn't have done. If that would have been taken care of, peace, let peace rule, it'd be a whole different story. I had a guy ask me one time, he said, how come the Vietnam vets got treated terribly and the Gulf War vets got treated like heroes? And he said, there's no good answer for that, and you know it. The media, remember the media? That word television says you've been told a vision. Tell a vision. Tell the people what you want them to believe. Tell the people what they want you, what you want them to think. Some people will believe absolutely everything they see on TV. They will believe absolutely anything somebody tells them to do. If somebody's in a political position, you know, of influence, or on TV, maybe they're a doctor, they say, you need to go get this vaccination, you're toast. And they'll go get vaccinated. Boom, 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 boom. I'm really concerned. You know, there's some evil people behind some of these things. And I've noticed some people getting really, really sick. I know some people that are absolutely convinced that Biden is the hero of this country. I'm related to them. I sit there and I think, we didn't come from the same nest. One thing, I think I'm really, really glad that I escaped the education system when I did. Because it has done very few people what it was intended to do. I call them incubation centers, indoctrination centers. But it's still up to people. God has given you the responsibility to think. Think things through. Does this line up with what the Bible says? Does this line up with what's right? Does this line up with what is good? In America, you've been given a constitution. I had a guy come up and tell me, he said, you're supposed to be wearing a mask. And I said, you can go pound sand. And he got mad and he started throwing a fit. And I said, I don't care what political office you hold in this county. It doesn't matter at all to me, not one bit. Your mandate does not take away my constitutional freedoms. And then he got really mad. I still don't care. You can get as mad as you want. If it doesn't line up with the Bible, if it doesn't line up with the Constitution, don't bother coming and trying to force it off on me. It's not going to happen. But see, God has given us the freedom to make choices. He said, have your mind renewed to the Word of God. One thing that is important, remember I talked about us being three-part beings. We have a soul. That's our intellect. And sometimes we just feed our intellect so much information, so much stuff somebody told us, something, you know, somebody taught us. You know, it's a professor, so it's got to be a fact. That's the way it is. It may be a fact. Maybe they've proven some way that if you do this five times, then this is going to happen as a fact. But if it's not the truth, if it doesn't line up with what God says, then it's not going to matter. This is what matters right here. The truth. The truth. You know that today we're in such a vitally important point in time right now. And everything that's important, everything that's really important, that, you know, there's three major things right now. We have the Bible, we have our rifles, we have our Constitution. Those three things. Everything rests on that stool with three legs. And if you take one of those legs away, it all falls. They are attacking our Second Amendment rights every day. They're attacking, they want the Constitution to just go away. They want Bibles to go away. They want Bible preachers to go away.
They're not
going to
win.
No, they're not going to win. They've passed laws. Did you know they have special laws? I could go to jail right now for what I'm talking about. They have special laws that said I'm not supposed to talk about anything political. Well, if I don't talk about anything political, how am I going to tell you about the devil? The devil wants to mass murder babies by the millions. And that's backed by evil politicians. I'm going to tell you straight out, if they support abortion, don't vote for them. God does not want you to be supporting anybody that is about murdering babies. Well, I don't agree with that part of what he says, but I like everything else. And I said, you're not voting for a man. I don't care who you think you're voting for. You're voting for a platform one way or another. You're going to vote for a system of beliefs one way or the other. Amen. Democrats and Republicans have been infiltrated by complete rat finks. I don't like either system. I think we all need to turn into constitutional conservatives. You need to be what the... One of them politicians said, well, they're just a bunch of crazy rednecks with a Bible in one hand and a rifle in the other hand. That's the way every one of us should be. A Bible in one hand and a rifle in the other. Amen? That's the only way we've survived this long. That's the only way we'll continue to survive. Trust in Jesus and know this, that God will have His way. And it's changing every day. Our whole world is changing right before our eyes. Amen? So get ready. We're going to stop there. And we're going to go eat. So Father, we thank You in the name of Jesus for this exciting new adventure we're on. Very few of us have as many answers as we would like to have. But we know that when we trust in you and follow you, you're going to take us through the valley of the shadow of death. You're going to take us to these green pastures with still waters. We're going to be there. You are the good shepherd. You do look over us. You do protect us. And we praise you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, all right. Everybody come on back and we'll